Horsham Baptist Church, for your love to be poured out upon them. Thank you for the lives they've led before you, and we pray on into the future for your blessing upon them both. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Of course you can. Yes, why not? Yeah.
One of the things we've discovered together is that God is a wonderful God of surprises. I'm sure neither of us expected the joy and the happiness we're finding together already. But God is a God of light and joy and peace. Even though you've lost Joe, and our church will be the gain for that, we pray that God will be present with you and in your work in the community with joy and light and peace.
Amen. Well said. Very good. Notice sheets are out again for the third week. They're in blue. There are some spare copies at the back if you haven't had yours. To draw your attention, if I may, to another week on Saturday when the parish church is open for celebrations of art from local artists and a flower festival. We'd really appreciate your help, particularly Caroline Buck, in organising those events over the 3 days. There are activities for children. Our other churches are open for Ride and Stride, and I notice here particularly we need some volunteers to sign up for the Saturday. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer.
Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you stood through the earth, you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations.
You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, greetings from a sunny, cold harbour meadow. If you believe that, you believe anything. We've had the rain you've had, but it's been a great time down there, and it's been a joy to be down there with the people, and I'm sure they send their love, as you would to them as well. Just a prayer to begin with. Take these words, Lord, and use them to bring praise to you and you alone. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying an evening of Taizé music. I've brought Wendy's instruction sheet up here. And as Mark said, most of them were singing five times, round about that, and it's got MP on some and MF on another verse and then F. Sometimes we're getting sort of louder in it and then come back down again. In other ones, we're sort of getting louder all the way through. It's just a way of singing the songs. Taizé is a special style of music and I think it's very relaxing, good singing. When Richard introduced Habakkuk, he missed out the first line. I don't know if you noticed that. If you've got it, if you turn to page 942, or he missed out a bit of it, it says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigonoth." Is that how you pronounce it? Haven't a clue. Well, I looked up what that meant, actually, and it sort of is a style of music. And the last chapter, you've got to remember, is a prayer, but it's a prayer that's been set to music. Shigonoth could be for the content of a song, or it could be for the instruments used to help sing it. Most of the commentaries I read think that the word Shigonoth carries the idea of strong emotions. The Amplified Bible says, wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. The only other reference to it was actually Shigonon that I found is one of David's Psalms, number 7. And that was a tune with impassioned triumph, with rhapsody, and abrupt changes of tune. Well, for refined among you, it makes me think of something like Belshazzar's Feast. You know, that's a fairly sort of music that really sort of moves and goes all over the place. For the rest of us, it may be a bit more like punk rock. About as unlike Taizé as you can get. Not our usual way of praying to the Lord, I don't think. Or at least not to start with. Well, we've been looking through Habakkuk for the last 2 weeks. We've looked at chapter 1 and 2, and we've now arrived at the rejoicing bit, the happy bit, and a praise to the Lord for his deliverance from all the surrounding troubles which have been giving him consternation. Firstly, a little reminder of what we've learned from the previous two chapters. Chapter 1, where Habakkuk asks God why he allows his people to do wrong and to be violent and forget him.
Why isn't he listening to the cries of the righteous who have tried to keep true to God? Then God says he's going to use another nation to act against Judah and Israel. The Babylonians, and Habakkuk is very confused that that nation is even worse than Israel and the leaders there that are going wrong. Won't that make things worse? Then in chapter 2, the one that Mark led us in last week, Habakkuk says he's going to stand guard on a watchtower on the wall and wait for God to explain himself. Then he's got some questions that he's going to give him. But God's answer to Habakkuk in a vision is to write down what he hears, what he sees. He's telling him not to be puffed up like the other enemies of people who are against him, but be righteous, right with him. Live by faith, because all nations are accountable to God and his justice. God knows and sees. He sees unjust economics, slave labour, irresponsible leadership, idolatry, and he will deal with them. Those were five woes from last week's lesson. Write it down, Habakkuk. Live in righteousness by faith, trusting in me alone. So we come to Habakkuk's emotional song of prayer in chapter 3. And like Job, Habakkuk doesn't get an answer to his questions. God doesn't need to explain himself. Instead, he shows his power and presence at work in the world. What does Habakkuk see that makes him stand silent before God? What does Habakkuk now pray for others to see and hear that they may believe and trust and live in God's holiness? Let's have a look at a couple of verses if you've got a Bible in front of you. Let's look at verses 3 and just some of those things that Habakkuk sees and writes down. God's glory covers the heavens and his praise fills the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed in his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea? If it was a blockbuster movie, you can imagine it's so dramatic language and incredible things happen. I wonder how God would be presented. It could be that he might be cast as the villain because of all the power he's got, all that power at his disposal. But the picture that Habakkuk chiseled out, that was how he's writing it down on tablets of stone, was of a mighty hero at work for the righteous since the time of the Exodus. God controlling the sky, clouds and lightning showing his presence, plagues and pestilence when Pharaoh wouldn't let the slaves go. God shaking the earth, earthquakes, torrents of water swept by, like a tsunami maybe. Habakkuk's song of prayer continues, in awe as he sees the battle of God, the battle that he's carrying out in the world. God splitting the waters for his people. The sun, the moon standing still at God's command. Verses we find in Joshua. God delivering his people from oppression. God is angry, but it's because of his love for his people. Although it may look as if God's enemies are in control, God is showing his supremacy. Water represents chaos, battling against the waters, controlling and changing them. God shows his power, not only over the little battles, but against the battle of good over evil. And he's winning it. Even though God is on his side, it's still a scary place for Habakkuk to be. Look at verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. How small we are in the presence of God. The only thing to do is to wait patiently for God to do as he promised. And having seen the future as God sees it, Habakkuk offers his trust in verses 17 and 8. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Even though everything that provides a future seems to be destroyed, Habakkuk rejoices in a future victory of God. And then in verse 19, the Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. In the Annotated Bible, it says, to walk, not stand still. To walk, not stand still in terror, to make spiritual progress on his high places, to cope with trouble, suffering, and responsibility, because he's now closer to God. Well, we're almost at the end of Habakkuk. We might be tempted to say, so what? What's it all mean to us? This guy was writing 2,600 years ago. What does it mean to us? But I wonder how we view the things that we read, the news that we see on television. Do we watch in awe and wonder, and maybe horror, as we see the number of natural disasters that have happened even during these last 2 or 3 months, of earthquakes, of mudslides, fires out of control, devastating flooding, amazing storms. In other places, maybe drought. How do we react? How do we react when we see man's errors in things like the dam that collapsed and the bridge that collapsed in Genoa because of bad workmanship and design? How do we react to that? How do we react when we see the poor being exploited? Of modern slavery, of people trafficking, of irresponsible leadership, of dishonesty, lying to gain power and influence, of following idols, material things, anything other than God himself. The five woes that Habakkuk mentioned those 2,600 years ago. Do we still trust and find joy in knowing that God is aware and cares? Do we see Jesus as the anointed one mentioned in Habakkuk, sent to save us? God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We need so much to show confidence in God through our praise, even through our difficult times. If we don't, who will? I've got to do a talk tomorrow, partly because I was sort of looking at Habakkuk for this service. I'm using it for a family service tomorrow. It will be different. It won't be as boring as this. But there's a cartoon that I came across. I've got copies if you want to have one. But it seemed to sum up the story quite well to me. It sort of builds itself up as a picture. But particularly over here, here's Habakkuk. He's looking at his withering tree with no leaves on it. And he's saying, even if the fields produce no food, I will find joy in God my Saviour. And in a way, it made me think of our trips to Condoa and seeing there. The last time we went, the fields were brown. This time it was a luscious green. They'd had rain. Praise the Lord for that. But there's a trust there that's overwhelming, that God will supply. And I know that may be by asking others to help, but God will supply. We pray that, like Habakkuk, God will keep our steps sure because of who he is, not because of our own efforts. So actually, we're now back to Wendy and David, the director of music, and the stringed instruments. You see that at the bottom of the reading.